Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. And it is good to be here with you this evening. And tonight, we're going to be going through the rest of Romans chapter 4. And we're gonna pick up from where we left off in verse 9, but we may go back up to verse 8, and then take it a step back, and then going through, and still gonna be talking about Abraham, Father Abraham tonight, and so hopefully, if the Lord wills, we'll be finished with Romans chapter 4. And next week, we will do Romans 5. Okay? Now, that's what we're going to be kind of doing. I'm not sure yet what I'm going to be talking about on Sunday. So be in prayer for me on that. We'll just go from there. Good evening, brother. It's good to have you. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully this will be a blessing to you. Hopefully that you'll be blessed by this. Maybe, you know, hopefully this might be a life changer for you. I don't know, but we'll see. As per announcements, the only announcement I have is a week from Sunday. Okay, so not this Sunday, but a week from Sunday, there will be no Fishers of Men broadcast. And the reason for that is on February 7th, I'll be heading down to, I've been invited back to Freedom Free Will Baptist Church. The pastor there, Brother Bill Rushing, has invited me to come down there on the 7th to preach for them. So I will be preaching down there on February 7th. And so the message that I'll be preaching on the 7th will supersede the normal Sunday message. Okay, so there will be no Fishers of Men on the 7th. So on February 7th, there will be no Fishers of Men broadcast. That broadcast will be, I will be preaching down in Elma instead. And so it is an honor for me to go down there again, and it is an honor for me to be invited back. So you pray for me on that. Pray that God will just have his way and will in that service, but also pray, keep me in prayer as per our message. I have an idea of what I want to preach on, but I've been praying about it, so you pray for me on that, okay? So, that's not this Sunday, but next Sunday. So with that said, if you have any prayer requests or praises, you can feel free to mention them on the comments section if you want to, or if you want to just message me your prayer requests, you're able to do that as well. It's up to you. There is no pressure. I do have a prayer request. I won't mention who it is. I'm not going to really get into details about this particular prayer request. But there is a fellow sister in the Lord. If you can keep her and her family in prayer, there seems to be a lot going on with her and her family. So if you can keep her in prayer, I know she would very much greatly appreciate those prayers. So if you can keep her in prayer, that would be great. If you can pray for me with my ministry and my videos, pray that God will just do a mighty work with these videos. pray that God will just take it and do with it as he wills and his and for his glory. So be in prayer for that. Let's see here. I wonder if there's any other ones I'm thinking of here. Let's be in prayer for our brothers and sisters, okay? Because I know this is a very interesting time right now. And we need to be praying for each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. Amen. This seems to be kind of a time right now where there is uncertainty, but there's also some this seems to be a very discouraging time for our siblings in Christ. So I think we ought to pray for one another. We need to pray for this nation. We just need to pray that God's will be done. Amen. And I'm not even going to even touch a whole lot on politics. And without getting too political, I think we should pray. We need to pray for our leaders. The Bible does say we should pray. We should pray for our leaders. So we do need to pray for our leaders. There is another thing too I want to mention. So a lot of you may or may not know, I'm at a point in my life where I'm sort of not going to be touching on politics all that much. I'm sort of done with politics. And some sort of fashion, and I'm really trying to avoid giving opinions and just all sorts of things. I'm going to try to really not get too political on certain things. I'm not against calling out our leaders, but there's just some things about politics. I just, you know, politics in general is very toxic and divisive, and I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to preach politics, okay? The church is not called to preach politics. We're called to preach the gospel. And so my main focus is going to be the Word of God. I'm going to try to not be political on certain things, but there might be instances where I might bring up a little bit of politics, but I'm going to try to do what I can to not dive in too much of it, because it's just the main focus needs to be the gospel. And I like what Pastor Mike had said about, you know, it doesn't matter what president is in office, but if you die, you know, if I preach on certain things and if you die and you end up in hell, well, what is that to you? You know what I'm saying? So in other words, it doesn't matter what president is in office, okay? Our mission stays the same, and we're to preach the gospel because it's the gospel that saves souls. Amen. The Constitution is not going to save you. The President of the United States is not going to save you. The United Nations is not going to save you. Socialism isn't going to save you. There's only one that will save you, and that's Christ. And we ought to preach Christ, and we ought to know Christ and Him crucified. And so it's important that we focus our attention more on the gospel than focusing on our Constitution. Now, I understand. Now, I don't. Let me just say something. I'm not anti-Constitution. Okay? I am a constitutionalist, but the Constitution okay? The Constitution is not going to save you, okay? It was, and the Constitution was inspired by the Word. The Word was not inspired by the Constitution. Does that make sense? So, the Constitution was inspired by the Word, but the Word is not inspired by the Constitution. Okay? So, we need to understand that the Word of God is, the Word of God takes precedence over the Constitution, over our nation, over, it doesn't matter what president's in office, we need to focus on that particular deal, okay? Now, I don't want to get too much into it because, you know, I just think it would be better to spend more of our time preaching the Word of God than, you know, having to explain all this. So, with that said, just a little bit of a side note, I'm mainly going to be focusing on preaching the gospel, preaching the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. Amen. Other than that, I don't have anything else. So with that said, I guess we'll go ahead and get started, because sometimes I get speechless and sometimes it gets really awkward. So we'll just go ahead and get started. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And we'll go ahead and get started here. We'll start in verse 8, and we'll start working our way through Romans chapter 4. And we don't have much left. We have a little bit of a chunk left, but I think this will probably go a little bit more quicker than the first section of this. So, Romans chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, Romans 4, and we'll start in verse 8, it says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Now, I don't want to get too deeply involved in this, because we've discussed this last week, so if you haven't seen last week's, go back and after this, go back and watch the part one of this particular message. But really quickly, as a review, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, okay? So one of the places that we looked at last week was Zechariah, okay? Now in Zechariah, and I can't remember the chapter, I'd have to go back and look. I think it was Zechariah chapter 2. We talked about Joshua the high priest, and we saw that Joshua was in filthy garments, and Satan was accusing him, and eventually when you read later on, you see that there was a transition in clothing. The angel gave him clean and pure clothes, and we talked about that as pertaining to as a picture of us losing our righteousness and having Christ righteous and being clothed with Christ righteousness. Amen. So when we get saved, the old dirty rags come off, and God clothes us with Christ righteousness. Okay. So, why do you say that with this particular verse? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Because if you're born again today, and if you are wearing Christ's righteousness, okay, by faith, God does not impute sin to you. He imputes the righteousness of Christ. He imputes that to your account. Okay, so the imputation of Christ's righteousness is by faith. It's grace through faith. Okay, it's a gift. Because at the cross, when Christ died on the cross, our sins went on Christ, and Christ's righteousness came on us. So it is by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, for it is the gift of God, okay? But We see that as a believer, the Lord will not impute sin. Why? Because as a believer, we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us by grace through our faith in Christ and what he did for us at the cross. Amen. So blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Okay. Now let's go on to verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? Also, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Okay, so now, and I can be wrong on this, so don't take what I'm about to say, but if I am correct, okay, if I am correct, we see that Abraham received the promise before he was circumcised. Okay, so Abraham received the promise, and then later, as a token or covenant, the circumcision was a covenant between God and Abraham. Okay, so we see that was, but before he was circumcised, and Abraham was circumcised. He was very old when he was circumcised. Okay, and I think he was circumcised. Oh boy, you know, I can't remember. I think it was actually when his son Isaac was born, wasn't until when he was circumcised. But Abram had faith. Okay, this was before he was circumcised. The circumcision was to show and to confirm that covenant with Abraham, between God and Abraham, okay? But before that, when he was uncircumcised, Abraham believed God and had faith in God. Now, of course, there was times where he was in doubt of God's word, okay? And when his wife Sarah told Abraham to go in onto her handmaiden and have a child, which produced Ishmael, okay? But we see that it was around this time, before that, God had promised to Abraham that he would be a father of many nations, okay? Now, it's interesting, okay, a father of many nations. We see that he's the father of Israel, but he's also a father to the Islamic nations. Why? Because Abraham went into Hagar, which was Sarah's Egyptian handmaiden, and Hagar bore a son named Ishmael. Now, if you're wondering what the Ishmaelites are, the Ishmaelites, okay, the children of Ishmael are the Islamic people. Okay, the Islamic Arab nations and people are the children of Ishmael. The Arab people are the Ishmaelites. Okay, and so if you actually take a look at Islam, they actually do recognize Abraham. They do. Now, they don't recognize Christ as the Son of God, but, you know, that's, we won't go here or there, but we see that Abraham is partially a father to these Arab nations. Now, when I say that, that was out of disbelief, Ishmael, Abraham had Ishmael out of doubt and disbelief. Okay? And so, but Abraham is still the biological father of Ishmael. But Ishmael, it was prophesied by God that Ishmael and his descendants would run like a wild man and would cause trouble and on all that. And guess what? What do we see from the Islamic people? They have run wild like a wild man, and of course they're always stirring things up. Okay, now think about that. That was something that should not have happened, and because of that, we're seeing the effects of Abraham's sin. Now, you might say, well, why is that sin? Well, it was sin because it was through disbelief, it was through doubt and disbelief that Abraham had Ishmael. But Ishmael was not chosen to be the heir because the promise was that Sarah would conceive. And of course, we see that Abraham, Father Abraham, was just like the rest of us. He had doubts. Okay? But the thing is that the promise that God gave to Abraham as a father of many nations was before he was circumcised. Okay? Now, knowing that Abraham is the biological father of Ishmael, he is a father to to those nations as well as to Israel and to all those by faith, to all those who trust in Christ are the children of Abraham. So if you're born again tonight and you're God-fearing, you're born again, you're spirit-filled, okay, you are a child of Abraham by faith. But we see that the promise was given to Abraham before he was circumcised. So he was uncircumcised when this promise was given. But you want to know something is that God, okay, so God had given that promise before he was circumcised, but Abraham had faith and he believed God before God had instructed Abraham to be circumcised. Okay? So, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. To all those who believe in Christ, he is the father of. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Okay? Now, I don't want to get off too way off, chasing rabbits, but I do have a Spurgeon study Bible. And Spurgeon does actually have a comment on verse 11. And he says, every promise of God's word belongs to all those who have faith to grasp it. Amen. So, if we are born again, if we have faith, okay, Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains, okay? But every promise of God's word is to those who believe and have faith. Amen? So, as born-again believers, we are children of God, but we're also the children of Abraham by faith in Christ. And we there are promises that as Gentiles that we can get and receive by faith in Christ because of Abraham. Amen. Abraham had faith. And all those who put their faith and trust in Christ and have faith are also, they are children of God as well as children of Abraham. And there are promises that we can grasp and take a hold of as born-again believers. Amen. But with that said, we'll continue on. It says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Okay. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Amen. Abraham, Father Abraham, was a man of faith. Okay. Now the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. So it's not through the law that you are the heirs of the world. But it's through the righteousness of faith. Faith in whom? Jesus Christ. Hang on a second. The Lord, okay. Oops. That is if I can actually spell today. I can't spell today. Inherit the earth. Okay, check what Jesus says in the Beatitudes. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus is talking to his people, to his disciples. He said, and he's talking to us. He talks and speaks to us through his word. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, what did we just get done reading? For the promise that he should be the heir of the world. The heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Listen, folks, if you are born again and you believe in Jesus Christ, you put your faith and trust in him, you are a child of God, but you are also a child of Abraham by faith in Christ. And with the promise that we can grasp by faith, one of them being is that we will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. That's a promise that Jesus gives to us. Okay? And we see here that it is through the righteousness of faith, faith in Christ. It is Christ's righteousness. It's faith in Christ that we can be made heirs of this world. Amen. Now, it says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Do you know why that is? Because if things were done by the law, it would be dependent on you for good works and your salvation. And Jesus said that whosoever shall find another way into the sheepfold is a thief and a robber. Listen, folks, we are very depraved human beings with a free will. We are totally depraved with free will. Without Christ, we can do nothing. If our salvation and our righteousness was dependent on keeping the law, okay, then it would be made on your own works. And Jesus said, God says in his word, that your righteousness are as filthy rags to God. You cannot keep the law. The law, no flesh will be justified because we are completely depraved with free will, with a sin nature. Okay, so the law, we cannot be heirs by the law. It's only by faith that we're made heirs. Why? Because it is only by, we're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. For it is the gift of God. If we were to keep the law, if our salvation depended on keeping the law, that means we have something to brag and boast about because it's based on our works. And by the way, if there is something that you can brag or boast upon, you are a thief and a robber because you're stealing glory from God and putting it on yourself. God will not share his glory with no one. Okay? It is God that does the work. It is him that works the work of salvation within you. And it is God that continues that work unto the day of redemption. And that means God saves you, he keeps you, and you are sealed and signed by what God does, not what you do, but because of what Christ did at the cross. So we're heirs of the promise. We're heirs of the promise by faith and not of the law. Because there is no one righteous, no, not one. Amen. Now, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Okay, let's see here. In Romans chapter 7, verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Okay? Now, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Okay? Paul is talking about in chapter 7, verse 7, is that he had not known sin except by the law. Do you know why? Because the law was to point out that you are a depraved sinner in need of a savior. The law points out the fact that you are a sinner. The law points out your sin. The law is our schoolmaster pointing us to Christ. The law cannot save you. It is good, but it cannot save you. Amen. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. No one can keep the law. There's only one who kept the law perfectly, and that is Christ. And because he kept it perfectly, when Christ died on the cross, our sins went on Christ, and Christ's righteousness came on us. And Christ's righteousness came on us because of grace. Amen. So, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. If you're born again today and you've put your faith and trust in Christ, you are a seed of Abraham. You may not be the direct physical seed of Abraham, but you are the spiritual seed of Abraham. You're Abraham's children by faith in Christ. We might be Gentiles, but as us Gentiles, if we believe on Christ, we are spiritually the children of Abraham. Amen. Spiritually speaking. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Amen. Abraham is the father of us all. And he had faith in God. The question I have for you is, do you have faith in Christ? Because if you have faith in Christ and you're born again, you are a child of Abraham. Amen. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham was made a father of many nations. By the way, check this out, okay? I want you to pay very close attention to this, okay? God made Abraham a father of many nations. Many nations. Not all nations, many nations. And by the way, you realize that the word nations shows you it's plural. So multiple nations. God made Abraham a father of many nations, more than one. Not just Israel, but more than one. And we see that. We see part of the father of many nations. We see that through Ishmael. Because Ishmael is a child of Abraham, but it wasn't the promised child. Okay? But still, Ishmael is a child of Abraham. And Ishmael are the Ishmaelites, which the Ishmaelites are the Arab people. Okay? Before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised. So Abraham was fully persuaded at God's promises. And because of Abraham's faith in God, of the promise that God made to him, was being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able to also to perform that, to perform. Because of that, was imputed to him for righteousness, meaning that God counted him righteous. God put righteousness to Abraham's account, not because of works, but because of faith. Faith in God that he was going to make him a father of many nations. Amen. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Listen, folks, the same righteousness that was imputed unto Abraham because of Abraham's faith, what God is saying is that that righteousness is also to us. That righteousness will also be imputed to us, but there's a condition. What's the condition? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So, if we put our faith and trust in Christ and what he did for us at the cross, we're not just a child of God, we're not just a child of Abraham, and we're not just heirs of the promise, but by faith, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. In other words, Christ's righteousness is given to our account by grace through faith. And that is only given to those who believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. So you see that not everybody, a lost person cannot have that righteousness imputed to him. And a reason why a lost person cannot have that righteousness imputed is because they're not born again and they don't believe on Jesus Christ. But the moment that you become born again and you put your faith and trust in Christ, that's when you become a child of God, a child of Abraham by faith in Christ, being heirs with Christ. Amen. Being heirs with Christ. And Jesus promises us the meek shall inherit the earth. Amen. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Amen. It's only by grace through faith that we are made sons of God and sons of Abraham and co-heirs with Christ. Why? Because of what Christ did at the cross. He died on the cross and was raised up again from the dead on the third day. Jesus was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered for our offenses. He was handed over to the chief priests. He was tortured. He was whipped. They mocked him. They put him on a cross. He had three nails. One, two, three to hold his feet. Three nails and five holes which is 8, is a number for new beginnings. He went through all that to die on the cross for our sins. And Christ was raised again for our justification. Amen. Jesus was raised for our justification. And by the way, it wasn't anything that we did. It was because of what Christ did for us. It's not that we loved him, but he first loved us. We didn't choose him. Yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But Christ chose you from the foundations of this world. Not that we have chosen him, but he chose us. Amen. And believe it or not, that's it for Romans chapter 4. So I don't know how long of a... I don't know how long... Is that 9:24? There's no... Oh, it's almost 9:30. I don't think I even went at it for an hour, but it's all right. We got through the rest of Romans chapter 4. And next week, beginning in Romans chapter 5, which is going to be talking about being justified by the blood of Christ. Because without the shedding of Christ's blood, we have no justification. You know what? To kind of preview for next time, oops, I can't even spell today. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, here's something I want to end on this note for food for thought for the next week, okay? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Means that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. And if there is no remission of sin, if there is no remission of sins, that means there is no justification. So it is by the blood of Christ that our sins are remissioned and that we are justified and clean and pure by his blood. Amen. So that's what we're going to have for you for next time. And hopefully that was a blessing, you guys. I know, I'm sorry, I probably wasn't as prepared for this particular one as I'd like to be, but I hope that it still was a blessing to you. I hope, you know, listen, if there's anyone who watches this, that if there's anybody that gets something out of this, okay, then it's all worth it. Then it's all worth it. Now, I do want to make this a point, okay? I don't want anyone to take, don't ever take everything I say for truth. As a matter of fact, I'd rather you didn't take everything I say for truth. Because listen, I'm a man that has a sin nature, okay? I can be wrong. And there are many times I am wrong. So you don't take everything I say for truth. You take what I say and you compare it with the Word of God. If what I said does not match with the Word of God, then let God be true. Then let God be true. And Brandon be a liar. Amen. Amen. Listen, I don't ever want to, I don't ever, I don't ever want to lie to anybody. And I know that I'm susceptible of that. I don't ever want to lie to anybody. I don't want to ever go all false prophet, heretical on anybody. Okay, I don't ever want to lie to anybody. But I know I'm susceptible of that. And the only thing that really, the thing is, God is not going to allow me to be right all the time. He will allow me to be wrong. And I know there are many times I've been wrong on certain things and I've had to repent for certain things. But I don't ever want to take the word of God and twist it and lie to people. I don't ever want to do that. But I am susceptible at lying. So don't take everything that I say for truth. I want you to take what I say and you compare it to the word of God. Amen. Because let God be true and every man a liar. God is the only one who is 100% right, and God is the only one who knows what the future holds. Amen. So, listen, guys, I love you. I love you. I care for you guys. I hope this was a blessing to you. I hope that you guys got something out of this. Amen. Again, next week, next Friday, next Friday, we're going to be getting into Romans chapter 5. Sunday, I don't know what I'm going to be preaching on yet. Stay tuned for that. Not sure yet what I'm going to talk about. And then a week from this Sunday, 1 week from this Sunday, there is no Fishers of Men because the Fishers of Men broadcast will be what I preach down in Elma, okay? So I will record that message and I will post it on Sermon Audio and I'll kind of put it out for everyone to listen to, okay? So be on the lookout for that. Let's see, what else? I think that's going to be about it. So I love you guys. This is Brother Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. God bless you guys. I love you. And we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you guys. See ya. Love ya. Bye.